Grace, peace, and mercy unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this evening, it's Christmas Eve, I was going to preach to you about the house of bread, but I decided to defer that one until tomorrow because we're celebrating the sacrament and we're going to see how the bread of God's presence goes through the Old Testament into the New and into the sacrament that we celebrate tomorrow. But tonight, I want to take hold of a question. And the question is, what do you really need? And it's based on two scriptures, one that you heard read by Pastor Joseph, Luke 2, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. But also, I don't want to forget the verse from Matthew as well that tells us what the name Jesus means. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, there are so many things that people tell us that we need. What the advertisers tell us that we need, what family tells us that we need, but help us focus in on the one thing especially that is needful, and that is Jesus, for he is the one who saves his people from their sins and saves us from our sins, each and every one of us as well, that we may live forever. What power in the Christ child who bears the name Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. So that question, I think it's a very important question to ponder what it is that you really need. You might want to ponder it in the new year. What do you really need? We often ponder that wake-up call sort of question, and not until tomorrow afternoon, as we sit amidst the crumpled wrapping paper, the clutter of receipts on our desk. But too soon, that clutter is swept away, along with the question and any chance that we might have to answer it for ourselves. That question, what is it that you really need? It's unfortunate, because most of us don't know what it is that we really need until it's too late, until we're basically at death's door. Fortunately, though, there are those in select professions who witness people there, witness people at death's door, able to challenge us before we find ourselves there, old too fast and smart too late. I watched a TED Talk, incredible TED Talk. Paramedic Michael O'Reilly was there. He's often there witnessing people at death's door. And I thought, what a wondrous profession that he has as a first responder. What an opportunity to see into a focused heart of a human being. But you know, he didn't always take that opportunity to take that look into the heart of people at death's door. Understand this, Michael O'Reilly said. The most seriously injured, he goes to a lot of car crashes, the most seriously injured, even minutes or moments from death, while in shock, are surprisingly coherent. Of course, many of them are unconscious, but some are surprisingly coherent. Am I going to die? They ask. In the beginning, as a rookie first responder, Michael O'Reilly, he'd always lie. His time with the dying would be spent denying the reality observable to both victim and first responder, hoping against all observable odds, conducting the procedures of the job. His conversations focus strictly on the task at hand. But then one day, one horrible night actually, He decided to tell the truth, and he's told the truth ever since. In his long career, he's always told the truth. Now, of course, he still follows the procedures. He's a professional, after all. But he tells the truth, and with the truth comes truthful responses. He documents a pattern here, that no matter what a person's religious background or belief, it seems that everyone needs three things. Everyone seems to need forgiveness. They have a need to be remembered. And they have a need to know that their lives possess some kind of meaning. Does the Holy Spirit convict you of such true needs this Christmastide? I hope we don't have to end up at death's door before we recognize what is truly important. Forgiveness. A need to be remembered. A need to know that your life had some kind of meaning. We need forgiveness. This time of year, we're called to reflect on our triumphs, defeats, but also our regrets. Don't just try to drown regret at the bottom of some glass of holiday cheer. Jesus best addresses regret, guilt, and remorse, all these things that are caused by sin. It's all in his name, you know. You shall call his name Jesus, because he saves his people from their sins. The Christmas readings reflect in greater depths the meaning of this name of Jesus. Look at the reading from Luke read tonight. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He saves us from our sins. He saves us from our regrets. He saves us. Who is Christ? He's the Messiah. Christ the Lord. What a word this is. This word, Savior. Still, such readings go beyond helping us understand. I'm not just talking to you about Jesus tonight. The Holy Spirit works through his word so that we are promised that we actually encounter Jesus in church. We encounter him in his word and in his sacrament, and he's real. We just don't sing about him. We don't just talk about him, but we encounter him. It's a special word. It's a word of God that's empowered by the strength of the Holy Spirit that we encounter Jesus. Maybe you didn't know it when you got in the car this evening, traveling to get to church. Maybe you thought you're coming just to fulfill some family obligation or celebrate a cultural phenomenon. Or hear beautiful music, we hear it, of course. Or to see beautiful lights, or to see old friends. But by means of the living word, we're promised that we meet Jesus tonight, who forgives you of your sins. And with the forgiveness of sins, as the small catechism teaches, there is life and there is salvation. Forgiveness, that's number one. Of course, we have still other needs. I hope that we don't have to go to death's door to know what the other needs are. There's forgiveness, and then there is the need to be remembered. Jesus fulfills such a need. He does better than remember us, though, because we sang all about his name. His name is Emmanuel. Of course, he's got lots of names, but we sang about his name, Emmanuel. And there's a great meaning to this name too. God is with us. He never abandons us. Advent is about singing, O come, Emmanuel. But now it's Christmas. And we think about how he has already come and how Jesus still comes. He comes in his almighty word. He comes in his sacraments. What a blessing it is to be baptized. To be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we are in Christ. We are not abandoned. We are never forgotten. God has visited his people, and he still visits his people, and he visits us, each and every one of us. His people. Have you ever thought much about having been incorporated into God's people? We need to possess meaningful lives. Christ fulfills our need for meaning by being incorporated into God's people. You want to have meaning in life? Know that you have been incorporated into God's people. And God's people, we are reminded in Scripture, are called to a purpose. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2. Remember also the prophet Isaiah. In his words, we read responsively this evening, "The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who have dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone." What does the light of Christ establish? It establishes righteousness and peace. And as Jesus establishes it, he invites us to join him in the work, establishing righteousness and peace. This is a fulfillment of great purpose. We are God's people. We proclaim God's mercies in words, but also through deeds. "As I love you," Jesus says, "you are to love one another." And we are called to love much, for Jesus has loved as much us much, live a sacrificial love, a life directed ultimately towards the sacrifice on a cross. And it's there, still there today, the cross. Jesus says, "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." What a calling. What a potential to have fulfillment of purpose. But we cannot fulfill our purpose and possess meaning in our lives in isolation. So we're called together, first as families, but also as the family of God. I can't emphasize that enough. When our first responder, Michael O'Reilly, spoke to those who were mortally wounded, suffering of wondering whether their lives had meaning, he would speak to them about their families. Married or single, doesn't matter, married or single, with many children or none, we're connected, every single one of us, we are connected to a family. And at life's end, this is how most people see meaning. They're part of something greater than themselves. They are part of a family. But as believers, it's bigger than that. As believers, we're incorporated into a family which survives into eternity, the family of God, which is the church. And the church is here, the church militant that struggles here, but also the church triumphant in heaven. We're part of the family of God that is the church. The big three needs we have, which all the dying met by first responder Michael O'Reilly possessed. He identified forgiveness, the need to be remembered, the need to have a life of meaning. All these are met by Jesus as we're incorporated into him in the life of his bride, the church. Join us in the life of the church in this new year, 2020. Join us in worship, but also in acts of love, feeding the needy in our community, comforting the lonely, finding forgiveness, but also bestowing forgiveness. What a wondrous thing. It's not just something that I can do as a pastor, but it's something that each and every one of you are equipped to do, forgiving one another. Granted. Remembered by God, we know that we can remember others, finding purpose as God's children. May God give us this blessing this evening as we contemplate that question in our lives. What is it that we really need? We have it in Jesus, who forgives us and his people from their sins. In Jesus' name, we give thanks. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word incarnate, may we experience him this evening by the power of this living Word, that we may know the truth and that truth may set us free. Amen. We sing the next carol. Please remain standing for the carol.